Today we're going to talk about the topic of freedom. But, you know, an interesting fact, in 1776, the birth of the nation or the actual Independence Day was believed to actually be going to be celebrated on July 2nd, which is today. That was actually the date that Thomas Jefferson actually thought that would be the nation's birthday, or what we call Independence Day. Not the 4th of July, it was the 2nd of July, because that was actually the day that the vote was cast to secede from Europe and declare and make a declaration that we will no longer live under taxation and slavery. It will be a declaration. They all voted on making a declaration that would change their lives, their children's lives, their families' lives, and the history of this nation and the colonies that were there forever. Now, I understand we now live in a nation that is different than that nation at that time. And so for maybe different cultures or people from other nationalities, you don't understand the celebration of the 4th of July because your hometown or country may have had other ones. You got to realize that out of the 53 people that signed the declaration, none of them were born in America. And the reason why none were born in America is because America didn't exist yet. So until that day, but eight were actually immigrants from other countries. And so the rest were actually born in colonies. And what they did was they decided, you know, we desire a quality of life. And there are captors or there are resistance for us being able to live that quality of life. One of the major purposes of it was the taxation that England was putting on the colonies, saying, you know, because of the taxation they're putting on us, it is keeping us from having the quality of life we came here and dreamed of having. So they all came together and they voted on drawing up its own nation and drawing up the Declaration of Independence, which was voted upon July 2nd. Now, as time passed, it was chosen to celebrate so on July 4th. Reason being, because although it was voted on July 2nd, it took several days to get all the signatures it took place to get on there to actually make the Declaration of Independence an actual legal document. And so they had to travel. It wasn't like now. They could, you know what I'm saying, just fly in, or they had to ride horses to certain people, get certain people, because they had to have the number size. So it was actually today when the decision was made. I want you to know, today is going to have to be a decision-making day. We're about to enter into this message, and I believe the Lord has told me coming into it that yet you may not be in freedom yet. There has to be a day before freedom comes that decisions must be made. And so today, over the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about decisions that I believe need to be made before the end of this day is over. For you spiritually, for your family futurally, and in every area. You know, there were 53 names that appeared on the Declaration of Independence, and there it is there. And the guys that actually signed this paper, they voted on July 2nd, and then they asked Thomas Jefferson, to pen the draft of the Declaration of Independence out. Now, a little over 1,000-plus words made it into the declaration that was actually signed, but there were actually 1,500 words in the original draft that he put out there. Now, although this is a great nation, and I love America, I'll tell you what, I love America. I'm so grateful that I live in America. But I got to be honest with you, if this nation would not have made the decisions and went down the course that this nation has went down, I would be going to whatever nation did. I'm thankful that this nation was birthed on God, founded on God, trusts in God, and I'm so grateful that as a nation we still depend on God. But this as spot of land we live on is really no better than any other land. What makes this spot of land different than any other land is simply the decisions that the people that stand on this land have made. Now, it birthed when we started, right? When he drafted the first Declaration of Independence, like I say, there were 500 words in the original declaration that had been omitted. And when those words got omitted, I believe it was one of the greatest mistakes this nation has ever made. Because in those 500 words was the decision to abolish slavery and allow all men to be equal in the very concept of this nation. Now, because of fear and decisions and probably thinking that, you know, even Thomas Jefferson, who penned the original Declaration of Independence, when he wrote in the original Declaration to abolish slavery, he was a slave owner at his time. By them taking that out and allowing compromise to remain, I believe that was the greatest mistake this nation has ever made. But I am so thankful that we eventually got it right. I am so thankful that there were our forefathers that came beyond these guys, realized that that was a mistake. They should have left it in there. All men should be free. All men are equal. And it doesn't matter what color, race, creed, or where you come from, you deserve to be free, and you deserve the same rights God has given you. But because it wasn't put in there, our nation saw great heartache and great. We saw families divided. We saw sons and daughters be killed. I mean, the Civil War was because of a compromise that we made from day one. But I am so glad that there were men in this nation that chose to fight that war, even though it wasn't penned into the document that was put out. Saying that to say this, I am glad, though, that we made it and started a start. I want to read a scripture to you real quick, and then we'll get started in talking about a few of these guys, and then we're going to change directions just for a minute. In John 8:31, this is what Jesus said. He said, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him." Now, these are Christian guys. It says, "If you continue in my words," everybody, very, very important that you understand that word continue. I'm so glad that this nation, when it was birthed, they got it right in the draft, but then because of thought patterns and convenient and compromises, they omitted those other words. I am so glad that as a nation and as a people that understood and desired freedom, I'm so glad they continued on. I am so glad that we didn't leave it exactly like it was penned. I'm glad we got it back right the way it was supposed to be right. But here it says, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed." We're going to read a few more, Joe. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, saying, "We be Abraham's seed, and we are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou we shall be free? Be made free." And Jesus answered them, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." We're going to talk a few minutes tonight about what actually freedom is. You know, anything that you allow to master you means you're not free. You know, there's a story about a guy that was in a prison cell, and when he went to court, he had the huge, biggest grin on his face. He had committed a crime, and it was a horrible crime, and he went through the judicial system, the judge found him guilty, hit the gavel. He didn't argue. He didn't put up a case. He was just so glad to get through his court case. They took him from the court case, put him into his prison cell, locked him up, had the biggest grin on his face. You know, and the prison guards couldn't understand it. Finally, one day, one of them said, "Man, what are you so happy about?" He says, "You have no idea." He said, "I am finally free." He said, "What?" He said, "I never have to go to work another day in my life." Your concept of freedom can be skewed because of your circumstances, and you may not be free at all. I know there's a lot of people that believe they fight for freedom, and their concept of freedom is this: I can do what I want, when I want, how I want, treat anybody the way I want to treat them, act any way I want to act. But I want you to know something: that's not freedom. Anything that masters you, anything that is in control of you, anything that has the power to whether or not choose, to takes the power away from you getting to choose whether it's in your life or not, that is not freedom. The Bible says the only freedom that we can ever receive or actually live in, which it actually says the word is indeed, free indeed. Yes, that man sitting in that prison cell was free. He never had to go to work again. But he also never got to choose when to go to bed, never got to choose when to get up, never got to choose what to eat for lunch, never got to choose where he wanted to go and when he wanted to do it. I'm telling you, if your concept of freedom is so narrow that it simply says you get to do what you want to do and go where you want to go and be what, it's just a matter of time before you're in a prison cell or you're locked up in some kind of bondage. That is not freedom. Freedom is not you getting what you want all the time. And so today we're going to talk just a few minutes about freedom. You know, when those guys, when we think about those guys that put their names on that piece of paper, that was a declaration that from this point on, we are going to live different, act different, be different, and never again are we going to let outside forces determine the life we live. They weren't just signing it and it being a party and they became famous and their life went from there. A lot of times you may think, you know, these were all rich guys and lawyers and smart guys and they left that thing, going back to their big plantations and getting to do what they wanted to. That's not so. And they knew it. As a matter of fact, they knew by putting their name on that dotted line that day, they knew that they were signing away the chance of ever having the life they want again. They knew by putting their name on that piece of paper, they just painted a target on their back. They painted a target on their children's back. They painted a target on their family's back. By them putting their name on that piece of paper, they sold their life to a greater purpose. As a matter of fact, out of the 53 that signed, five of them were captured by British troops and tortured to death in unbelievable ways of death just for signing that line. They were going to be made an example of. You want to be free? We'll show you what freedom will get you. 12 of them had their homes ransacked, their families kidnapped, and everything they owned burned to the ground. Nine out of the 56 fought and died in the war. They were either killed on the battlefield or they died of the wounds they received on the battlefield in the rest of the war trying to accomplish what they had put on that paper to do. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and his properties to pay his debts, and he died wearing rags, sleeping in the street, homeless. Thomas McKay, who was hounded by the British, so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost instantly. He served in Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were all taken, and he died in poverty, never to own land or anything else again, simply by putting his name on a piece of paper. All the way through, every one of them that signed the Declaration of Independence, they knew by doing this, there was a great cost that was going to be paid. As a matter of fact, the oldest signature of the Declaration of Independence was Benjamin Franklin. He was not that old, but he was the oldest to actually pen there. And you can tell his wisdom by being the oldest because it's documented when they finished signing, one of the young men looked at each other and said, "Now you must know that because we've signed this paper, we must all hang together." And this is what Benjamin Franklin said. He said, "You must know, if we don't hang together, then we'll all be hanged separately." Because they knew it was a death sentence. It was going to take them coming together, and still yet, every one of them lost everything they had. One of the signers of the Declaration of Independence watched his wife be taken from him out of his house while they burned it to the ground. They killed and tortured his wife. Then they killed and tortured him. Horrible fates ended to these guys. Newton was one that signed, and he was an officer in the army, and when he signed, what he had to do was he went straight to the battlefield, and when he got to the battlefield, the British were sailing in, and they were set up on a fort, and they were bombing cannons, shooting. They were taking back the, I put it in my notes, but I ain't going to take time to read. They were shooting at the British that was put up in a town. And they were bombing all over the city, trying to get the British to leave the city, except for this one house. Newton walked up and says, "Why is the house not being bombed?" They said, "Well, that's where the general is." He says, "Then we should be bombing that house." He said, "You don't understand, sir. That's your house." He said, "Let me pull the trigger." He shot the first cannonball through his own house. to get the enemy to leave. There was a great price to be paid. And these guys knew it going into it. Now, the problem with it is this. Those guys knew when they put their name on the dotted line that it was over for life as they knew it. And the truth is, their dream of freedom was so great that it was willing to outweigh any dreams that they had before. You must know, and you must know, that when you gave your heart to the Lord and you came to know Him as your Savior and you did it for freedom, to be free from sin, to be free from the enemy's assaults or free from years of bondage, you must know that your life had to change forever. Or yet you will still live in the same tyranny, or you will still live in the same slavery you lived in before. If everything about your life doesn't change when Jesus comes into your life, you're no different than a man sitting in a jail cell just glad he doesn't have to go to work anymore. These men understood it. They were willing to pay it. I want to talk about three things this morning about freedom. Because Jennifer read that story about a young man that lived in torment and torture. You understand, you're not free if there's anything in your life that masters you. If money, the love of money masters you, if it controls and makes every decision you make, you're not free. If sexual desires or longing for a relationship masters you, you're not free. If job masters you, if dreams master you, you're not free. You're not free, the Bible says, unless the Son sets you free. Now, you got to understand this, that the Bible said there, it says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's a difference in being free and a difference in being free indeed. And these guys, when Jesus was talking to these, it was the Jewish people. He says, you know, if you believe in me, you'll be free. And they go, what are you talking about? We're free already. You could hear the boast and the bragging in their voice. And you could say, you know what, we're sons of Abraham. We've never let nobody be our boss. We've never let anybody be in control of us. And Jesus says, you don't understand. You don't understand. If that is your attitude, you need to understand you're a slave to your flesh. Your flesh has you mastered. And you need to know something. You will never be free until the Son sets you free. Your flesh will tell you when to get up. Your flesh will tell you. Your flesh will tell you who to be mad at, who not to be mad at. Your flesh, if it masters you, you're not free. Your flesh may get to do what it wants. I want you to know something, though. Your flesh is not going to heaven. But it will send you to hell. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Talk just a minute about how to be free. First of all, the first thing you need to understand about freedom is this. Freedom always has a price. And the price of freedom is so great and so large that if freedom was not so great, no one would ever pay the price. You know, from before 1900, or from 1776 to 1900, over 1 million men, women, children gave their lives for the freedom that we live in as a nation now. Over 1 million. I don't know if you're a war movie enthusiast. I am. I love seeing the war movies because it just ignites passion inside of me. There's a reason why, though, the military picks 17 to 21-year-olds to put them on the battlefield. Because when men usually get over that age, they don't have the nerve to walk out there. And so when you're watching the war films and you're seeing those men and the price they paid, I'm just at awe of it. Because what you got to understand is those men that landed even on the shores of Normandy, they knew before their feet hit the sand, chances were they would never get up off that beach. But yet they were willing to do it. There's been quote after quote, young men and young soldiers saying, you know, we know this may cost us everything, but it's worth it. When it comes to actually being free as a nation and people actually serving here, when our young men went to war in Vietnam and the young men went to war for World War I and World War II, they knew when they hit the ground running they may never come back. They saw people never come back too. Yet they were still willing to do it because they knew freedom was worth that much. Even if they never got to experience it, even if they never got to reap the fruits of it, even if they never got to live their dream of freedom, they knew by them paying that price, somebody would get to do it. And freedom is so great that even if I never get to live it, but my children get to live it, it would be worth any price I pay. Freedom is that good. See, a lot of us think, heaven is that good, so I'll give my heart to the Lord and I'll get saved, and as long as I get to go to heaven, that's like the man sitting in the jail cell. I get out of work, I get out of going to hell, but you're still living in bondage. I want you to know something. A free life is a life that can't be outweighed by anything else, and men of before knew that. They knew. Since then, countless thousands and thousands of men have died all over this planet for this nation to be able to be free. But we can't get Christians to lay down their flesh for 1 minute to be free in our churches. You got to understand, freedom has a cost to it. And although we live in a nation where we have freedom, because our nation is run and organized by men, you can look at our nation and see it's so flawed and it has so many problems. And, there's all kind of issues. It's still, to me, one of the greatest nations of all time. But you can't imagine what freedom in your life God has for you. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard the good things that God has in store. It, one translation says, has not even entered into the thought of man. The freedom that God wants and has for you is so great. I want to tell you something. It's worth any price. But let me tell you the price. The price of freedom is always blood. The price of your freedom is always blood. And, there have been many die for the sake of this freedom. A few years ago, the Discovery Channel put out a movie called How the Disciples Died. And when you read about these guys that signed the Declaration of Independence and the horrible deaths they went through, they did it for putting their name on the dotted line. There were 12 men that chose just to follow Jesus. And when they chose to follow Jesus, the way they died was unbelievable. Let me read a few of the ways that some did. Peter and Paul were both martyred in Rome about 66 AD under Nero. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down at his request because he didn't feel like he was worthy for dying, didn't feel like he was worthy of dying the same way that his Savior died. So he has to be hung upside down. The Fox's Book of Martyrs says this about Peter before they hung him upside down. He's one of the only disciples recorded that was married. Before they hung him upside down, they brought his wife's head to him on a platter and said, "Deny or your children will be next." He wouldn't deny Christ. They brought his children's hands and feet on a platter to him and said, "Deny or it's you next." And he wouldn't deny him. The history records when they went to hang him. He said, "I'm not worthy to die the way Jesus did." He asked to be hung upside down. There's a price for freedom. The reason why we know the writings of Christ is because that man was willing to pay them with his life. Another, Andrew, went to the land of the man-eaters, is what it's called, in what is now known the Soviet Union. And he was killed there and martyred. Doubting Thomas went to the east area of Syria. Tradition says that he preached far into the West India, where the ancient Christians revere him as their founder. They claim that he died when he was pierced through the chest with spears of 4 different soldiers. Philip died a horrible death in Africa. Matthew died. Bartholomew, James, I won't go through all of them. John was the only disciple out of the 12 that did not die at the hand of martyrism. But he was boiled in oil 3 times. He was beaten countless times. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and he died of old age. Let me ask you something. Would death not have been quicker for him than to go through years of torture and torment? But he knew this. What I have has the ability to set others free. And I'm willing to pay whatever price I have to pay so that one day people can be free. Freedom has a great price to it. And for you to be free, as Jesus said to be free, what you have to do is understand this. You can't be controlled by anything, but you must make a choice to submit to God. Salvation starts at the beginning. It says this in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we nowadays got it twisted and turned in our minds that if we just ask Jesus to forgive us, we can be saved. I want you to understand something. Nowhere did it ask sinners to ask Jesus to forgive them. It's in John 1, 9, it says this, if you'll confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But that was written to Christians. The price of freedom in your life is not you ask Jesus to forgive you, not that you ask Jesus into your heart, not that you walk down an aisle, and not that you come and say, Lord, I want you to save me. The price of freedom is this, that you take with your mouth and you confess the lordship of Jesus over your life. That means he gets control, he gets to decide, his way is the right way. And it all, when Jennifer started reading that story at the beginning, it picks up in a town called the Galileans, or the people of the Galileans. And the Galileans, their history goes back to the Old Testament when the children of Israel were going into the Promised Land. Out of the 12 tribes, there was 2.5 tribes that decided, you know what, I know God has promised me that land, but, you know, that's got a big price to pay. If we cross over to this river and we try to, I know God said we'll live in houses we didn't build. I know God said it's a land that flows with milk and honey. I know it, but there's also a lot of battles on the other side of this river. So they said, Moses, please let us stay over here, thinking that they could live a good life and be free. We find them in the New Testament, here in the Gospel, the Gads, the tribe of Gad, now is Galilean. And they are under bondage, the Bible says, in such a way. Now, did they want to fight for freedom? Absolutely. This young man, the Bible says in this story, that every time somebody put chains on him, he had that rebellious heart and he would break them chains loose. And says no one was going to, he wasn't going to let anybody bind him. How many Christians I know that way? How many years I know that I lived that way? You know what? I'm right. I'm not going to let anybody set rules or make a way. I know I'm saved, and I'm going to do it my way. I want you to understand something. Anytime there's compromise, there will always be pain in your future. We started talking about the Declaration of Independence at the beginning, how it was actually penned at the beginning of it that to abolish slavery. The original draft had, because we compromised, hundreds of thousands of Americans died trying to right that wrong. Here in the story we just read, because the tribe of Gad compromised and wasn't willing to cross the river and fight for freedom, we find them here living a life of compromise. And because they lived a life of compromise, they found themselves living in a place of torment, demon possession, and slavery. I want you to understand something. You can live in America and still be a slave. You can be a slave to drugs. You can be a slave to alcohol. You can be a slave to relationships. You can be a slave to money. You can be a slave. If you think you're free because you get to do what you want to, and you think you can get away with compromise, you need to know something. That's not freedom. That is not freedom. The only way you, in that chapter where Jen read it, will you bring that back up real quick, Joe? I love it, the way it starts off this, because, see, they were in Israel. You go back to Mark 5 for me. I just want to point this, Mark 5, the first scripture. You got to see something. They were in Israel. Now, will you go this to the, that's it. You see the way this right words it? It says, then they came to the other side of the sea. To the what? The country. These people were so bullheaded that although they were in Israel, they thought they were their own country. They were going to do it there. You know what a country is? A country is a place of land where people have gathered together and determined that there's going to be laws and rules that we're going to live by. And that's what's going to establish who we are. The Declaration of Independence was the establishment of our rules in this country. The Gads didn't want to play by God's rules. They didn't want to obey God the way God said did it. So we find them in the New Testament living in their own country. And I'm telling you, if you choose to live in your own country, you're choosing to live under your own chains. You're choosing to live under your own slavery, and you are not free. But God says there is a better way to live. I can get you to a place where you're free. And you just won't be free, but you will be free indeed. What does that free indeed entitle? It entitles this. It entitles that everything God has for you is yours. Every right that God has given you, you can live. Every promise that He has dedicated for your future, you will receive. But you have to be willing to live in God's country. You got to give up yours. You got to decide. Now, we've got a lot of people that think just coming to church is living in God's country. Won't you understand something? I can go to France right now. And when I go to France, while I'm there, I have to abide by their rules, but I am not a native to France. You can come and be a part of something, but if you don't become a citizenship of it, if you don't become part of what this is, what it stands for, and make a declaration, a decision, and a point that I'm going to live by the rules that were established for this place to live, I'm telling you, you'll never be a part of what really it is you're wanting to be a part of. When you join this country and you go through the national classes, at the end of it, they make you stand up and make a declaration. First thing they make you declare is that you give away any desire or right to where you came from. Any support you ever had, you cut ties with it at this point. You promise to hold your values true to this country. And you will not go back and hold any allegiance with the other. To be a citizen of the United States, that's the first part of the declaration you must make. Secondly, the next part of the declaration you must make to be a part of this country is you come in and you have to promise to defend and bear arms for its rights. You will fight for the rights of this country. You will not fight against the rights of this country, but you will fight for. And then thirdly, you will fight to defend all those that are here, and you will obey the rules. And when you watch one of the ceremonies of the national when their people are joining the country, at the end they stand up and they say to them, after they make that pledge, they say this: "You are now a citizen of the United States." I've seen it countless times on different shows and on the internet, and when that happens, the crowd erupts because they know from that point on everything in their future will be different. Freedom has a price for it. For you to be free, not just in this nation, men have paid for this freedom in this nation for years and years. For you to be free in your spiritual life, in your family life, in your marriage, in every area of your life, there's a price that must be paid. You don't get to do what you want to do. There are certain rules that must be adhered to. They must be followed. You come into what they call is the kingdom of God. And what a kingdom is, see, the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." The price of your freedom is this: every desire, every want, every dream you ever had before you got there, you will give up. You will die at the moment, and you will become something new. This is what the Bible says this. You want me to tell you why no one could get free in the Galileans? Why that boy was so tormented? But you got to first see what kind of torment he was living in. All right. The Bible says he was in the tombs. Now, that tomb, when you do the research on what that tomb were, the tomb, it was a graveyard where past lives had been buried. And see, the enemy would love to keep you living in a place thinking you're free. Every time somebody puts chains on you, you're going to bust out. You're not going to do it any other way. You're going to do it your way. He thought he was free, but because he thought he was free, the Bible says a demon came upon him and became the master of his life. You can fight to do it your way, or you can surrender to do it God's way. I've never met anybody that fought to do it their way, and when they realized they were under demonic control at that level he was, didn't run to God and ask him to set them free. I've met a lot of people that have fought. Now, it's taken some few years. It took me till I was in my 20s. It took other people till they were in their 60s. But the torment that comes from you giving your life to anything else and allowing it to be, you're not free. You're under bondage. when he lived there, there were certain things. When he walked around, he looked around. One of the number one enemies that the devil uses to keep you in bondage is memories. The tomb actually represents a place of memories there when you do the research out. Everywhere he lived and looked around, he saw this guy. I knew that guy before he died. I knew that. It's a place of memories. A lot of us can't get free because we like living in a place of memories. Some of us hold on to memories of our glory days when we used to get to party how we wanted to and have fun how we wanted to and do what we wanted to. And because every time we get close to God and God asks us to lay something down, we want to reach out and hold on to that memory. We keep living in a tomb. I want you to know you're not free. Some of us are bound by the memories of what so-and-so did, said, or how they hurt me. And so we keep a memory of what other people have done to us or what we've been through or how bad it's been. And what happens is we get put into the chains of bitterness and anger and hatred. And I'm telling you, if you've ever been angry at anyone, you know the bondage it puts you in. You can't control your own thoughts. You can't control your own feelings. You're laying in bed trying to forget about it, and you can't. You can't get sleep. You can't get rest. That's what the feeling of living in a tomb feels like. You're surrounded and hounded by memories, and that's not free. I want you to know something. If you're just so hurt all the time, you need God to set you free. If there's some people that keep their memory of lost dreams that they've done given up or lost marriages, or I'm telling you, if you're living in memories, you're not living free. You're living in a tomb and you're being bound. And God doesn't want you. This is what God said about your memories. This is what he says. He says, I want to set you free. And all this thing that you keep remembering back on and all the torment or all the pain you keep remembering, I want you to be set free. And the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And when it talks about memories, when Jesus said, remember, this is what he said. He said, as oft as you do this, remember me. How do you get free of memories? You remember. Every time you remember what they did to you, you then at that point make a conscious choice to do it God's way. And you remember, yes, they did that. But Jesus also died on the cross for me. Jesus also shed his blood for me. Jesus also, the Bible says, his body was broken for me, for my hurts and my pains. He's got a remedy for your freedom. And it's called using your memories the way he wants you to, and get rid of the ones that the enemy's using to hold you back. If you're remembering past failures, if you're remembering past hurts, you're in bondage. And if you don't make the choice to get out of that and remember what God did for you, then you're in bondage and you're not free. Anywhere you find compromise, you find bondage. Do you know why no one in that village could set them free? Because of compromise. Do you know why African Americans stayed slaves in America for so long after the Declaration of Independence? Because of compromise. And until somebody stood up and said, it's time to get rid of this compromise and we're going to do whatever it takes to do it, and it cost us hundreds of thousands of lives as a nation, but it was worth every drop because freedom always costs blood. Here in the story, it was a Jewish country, is what they called themselves, because they like to play by their own rules, but it was actually a Jewish village. Jewish villages were not supposed to have pigs because Jews were not allowed to eat pork. So what were these guys doing with pigs in the first place? Got to let you know, I mean, the truth is this. As a nation, we never should have had slaves. That's the biggest blot on our nation in whole. The second biggest is abortion. We have missed it with abortion. Babies dying every day. We've missed it. Every time there's a compromise, there will be bloodshed. And because that day when Jesus showed up there and there was pigs in a place where there were never supposed to be pigs, Jewish weren't even allowed to touch them. They were unclean. But these guys wanted to do it their way, the way they wanted. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of us doing that right now. If we were to show up at your house right now and turn on your TV, is there any compromise on it? If we were to open your refrigerator, would there be any compromise in it? If we were to look under the box, hidden under the bed, would there be any compromise in it? You're not living free anytime there's a place of compromise. And because these Jews had these pigs living in their village and they were giving time, effort, energy, and money to it, raising them, breeding them, and I don't know why they were. They may have been selling them. It didn't say they were eating them, but they wasn't even supposed to be touching them, the Bible says. Because they were touching them, their children were in bondage. Do you understand what it is? The reason why so many of our great men and women of this nation died in slavery is because our forefathers did allow compromise. Do you want me to tell you why so many of our great men and women are dying all around the world right now? It's because our nation allows compromise. A lot of things we should not be allowed going on because we're not doing it God's way. That's why as a church we have to cry as a country, God, forgive us. Because the Bible says if the church will call out and repent of our ways, then He will heal our lands. You understand something? If in your life there's compromise, you're not free. And I want you to know something. You're not the one that's going to pay for it. I say this. You might can handle a six-pack on the weekend. You might can handle that. But let me ask you this. Can your children handle the six-pack on the weekend? Because every generation will take it to another level. Do you remember when Elvis used to just shake his hips and everybody was like, "Ooh, he's dancing"? Now when you flip on a secular video, it's almost pornography. Every generation takes it to another level. And you got to know something. That little compromise in your life because you want to be free, the next generation coming up behind you, they will be bound in chains and they're going to be living in tombs. And they're going to be crying out and they're going to be cutting themselves. Why do you think the epidemic of children cutting themselves in this nation is so big? It's not because we got a weird generation. It's because we had a generation before them allowing compromise to go out. We are in such a place where we think we're free and we can do what we want. You got to understand, freedom is actually you making the decision. I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. What the kingdom of God is doing it God's way. When you do it God's way, then you are free. You say, "Well, Cricket, when I got saved, I wasn't free." Go back to Joe. We may not get there. In John 8:31, go back there. I want to see something. We pointed out the word. You say, "Cricket, I got saved. And I wasn't free." We're in a microwave generation. You think the minute you pray for something or the minute I pray for something, I think God should actually do it for us. Freedom is not instantaneous. Freedom is a progression. Because when they made that declaration in July 2nd, it was years before we got to enjoy freedom. It was years before men weren't dying on the battlefields to get free. When we get saved, I want you to understand something. Get ready. The minute you declare Jesus as your Lord, you just went to war. And if you don't realize that yet, you're going to get out of it. You will be a deserter. You will run. You will go back to Britain as quick as you possibly can. Because the minute you make the declaration is the minute the war starts. Do you understand? When they made that declaration, they weren't free. They started a war. And when they chose to make that declaration, they knew it was going to be a war, but they had decided before, and the war is worth the fight. The minute you gave your heart to Jesus, the war started. The devil up to that point let you do what you wanted to, and you wrecked your life. But the minute you gave your heart to Jesus, God started putting together, and He said, "Now I'm going to wreck their life." And you have no idea what war is until you try to get right with God. And that's when the war starts. But the thing about it is, if you're willing to fight the war, check out what it says. And Jesus said to the Jews, which believed on Him. Now, you got to understand, these are Christians. They've made the declaration. But this is what He said the key was. If you continue in My word. Do you see that word continue? Well, God, I paid my tithes last week and I still got bills in the mail. Well, continue. Well, I asked God to forgive me and set me free from drinking, and 3 days later, man, I wanted to drink. Continue. Well, we both asked God to forgive us and got home. And right when we got home from church, we started to fight. Now, continue. Until you continue to do it God's way, you will never get to a point where you're free. Because the minute the declaration is made, understand, you just declared a war. And the devil is going to do everything he can do to knock the wind out of you, to get you to look back, to get you to accept what He's always given you. Because until you make the declaration that Jesus is my Lord and I'm going to do it His way, you're not going to ever be free. But this is what the Bible says. It says, and they continued in the word, you are My disciples. Then it said this. It says, when you do continue, you will come to a point where you will live free indeed. Let me tell you how you know you're free indeed. You ready? Number one, freedom has a huge cost. And if you're not willing to continue, you'll never make it. Number two, freedom has a sound. Everybody say sound. Sound. There is a sound of bondage and there is a sound of freedom. You're either making one or two. You're not being silent. You're either making the sound of bondage or you're making the sound of freedom. In North Carolina, Joe's got the picture. There's an Air Force base there that's right beside a highway. And what happens is all the big fighter jets and all the big things fly in there and land. And it goes right beside a highway. And drivers that were unaware of where they were getting startled and scared by these planes breaking the sound barrier, taking off or coming in. And so people began to complain about the noise. So they put up this sign. They said, "Pardon our noise. It's the sound of freedom." You've got to understand something. There's a sound coming from you. And that sound that you're allowing come out of your mouth and come into your head and go all around you, people know what sound you make. Your attitude makes a sound. Your actions make a sound. There's a lot of people whose eyes make a sound. My little girl rolled her eyes at me that day. I said, if you want them to keep rolling, you do that one more time. Because I'll give you a reason to let them things roll. You're 8 years old. You don't roll your eyes at me. Everything you do has a sound to it. And the Bible says that freedom has a sound to it. If you, for the lack of time, but we'll go to this one anyway, and then we'll speed on up in the last one. In Acts chapter 16, or I'm sorry, how did I get last week's sermon notes up here? I left them up here. Yeah, I was about to get a repeat. Acts chapter 16, verse 16, starts telling a story. It says, "And it came to pass, and as we went out to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of division met us, which brought her masters much," I told you, I got to back up, "much gain by soothsaying." All right, so you got to understand, number one, here these guys are that have decided to be free, decided to live God's life, God's that way. And these guys had already decided if it cost me everything, because it did cost them everything, they were going to be free. And they were surrounded by people that weren't. Do you understand that? It says when they went out, people that weren't free, why weren't they free? They were possessed with evil spirits. And they had masters. Go on to the next one. "As they followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who show us unto us the way of salvation." Now, this is really neat here. All right. Paul and Silas here were free. They were free. They were willing to pay it all. They were willing to pay the price. They knew the price was blood. They decided that I'm willing to pay that price. I'm going to give my life completely. He's going to be my Lord. So they made the decision, and they knew the way to salvation. So people started following them. And it said they were going to show them. So that tells me the people that were following them did not know the way to salvation, but they were following them. Do you understand? Not everybody in the church is free. You can be following this and not be free. If you have given yourself to anything but God's way, you're not free. And you have a master. Anything that is in control of you, if your eyes are in control of you, your thoughts are in control of you, your wallet's in control of you, your friends are, you're not free until God is in control. You're not free. And it says, go on down to the next one. Show them the way. It says, "And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone." You know what? Here, I'll tell you. The minute you gave your heart to Jesus, do you know what your old master saw? The hope of all your gain is gone. I mean, all his gain is gone. All his plans were disrupted right then. Every plot he'd put in your future was just destroyed right then. The minute he saw you do it. That's why he's been fighting you so bad to get back. Because everything he had planned for you is over the minute you did it. And he saw that. That's why you've been going through hell. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but we've been through hell this week. My family, every turn this week has been hell. I've spent 6 hours in the emergency room with my little baby the other night. For absolutely just no, you saw her face all messed up. I mean, it was warfare every step this week. Yesterday, we were in our yard. My little girl Alexis, that storm was blowing in. You remember the storm yesterday? I asked Alexis to walk out and shut a trailer on the front door. She went to walk there. As she started walking there, a 35-foot antenna that my neighbor's house had, she started, well, that thing's been there for probably, since probably the birth of the house, you know what I'm saying, which was built back in the 70s. She got into the yard, and the thing fell over, blew, and landed 2 foot in front of her, almost crashed into her head. I want you to know something. You're in a war. You are in a war. God protected that little baby. She didn't get hurt. My other little baby, we spent the night at the emergency room having to watch her for 6 hours for a head injury, not because that, you know, this one will go down in the books as my fault. It will. But I was carrying, we had just got back, Pat, I just got back from having lunch with you. I was carrying my baby in this. I had unbuckled her because I was about to feed her, and she decided to get out. I didn't realize she was out, and she rolled out, went head first, hit the concrete, and just huge knot, nose messed up, face blacked. And so we rushed to the hospital. I'm telling you, the enemy's done everything he could do this week to try to stop. Because you got to understand something. We're in a war. The reason why we're in a war is because we're fighting for freedom. We're fighting what God has planned, God has designed, and God has purposed me and my family to do. The reason why you've been in a fight this week is because God has a plan for you. And the minute you chose to do it God's way, the devil said, you know what? Everything I had planned to get out of their life is gone. Every witness that I tried to destroy with them is gone. The enemy knows. When you make that declaration, he's defeated. When you get free. But until you get free, he's not defeated. Let's go now. Look, I'm going to speed this up. But what happened was this. Because they were doing what was right, the enemy came and put them in jail. And the Bible says when they were in jail, it said this. It says at midnight. What is midnight? It's the darkest time it could possibly be. It's as late as it could possibly have got that time. It's when most people forget. You think midnight is dark. You in a dark situation right now? Paul and Silas knew this. If I'm going to be free, there has to be a sound. They could have crossed their arms and complained. Why in the world did God let me get here? Why we were kicking devil's tails outside that door when we got thrown into this jail. We were doing God. Why we got this way? I said they didn't do that. They decided they weren't going to do a sound of flesh. They were not going to give a sound of the enemy. They were going to give a sound of freedom. And when they gave the sound of freedom, the Bible says they began to sing and they began to praise and they began to declare what God was doing, had done, and who they were. And the Bible says that their chains did not fall off. It says, first what happened was the earth began to shake. I want you to understand something. When you get somebody free, everywhere they go, they shake things up. They turn things around. Your family may not be living for God, but if you would just get free, the minute you walked into your house, the ground would begin to shake. And the chains on their arms fell off, the Bible says, but they also fell off of every single prisoner that was in that jail. God's been waiting to get you free so he can set them free. You want your husband free? Then you need to get free. You need to get compromise out. You need to decide that it's God's way of doing things, not my way of doing things. And you watch. Whatever's been holding them bondage in there with you will get set free too. There is a sound of freedom. Until you get yourself to the point to be able to make that sound, then what happens is this. You'll never be free. See, the Bible says this. When they would go to war in the Old Testament, they did not win the battle before they shouted victory. The Bible said this. You will send Judah first. And because they would begin to shout before the fight had begun, the war was won before they got there. I'm telling you this. The Bible says this. It was not until they gave a shout of victory that the walls fell down. You keep waiting for the walls to fall down so you can get happy about it. You need to decide to get happy about it now and sound like you're a victor. You know, the Bible says the four lepers that were sitting outside the gate, they were diseased, they were messed up, they were starving, they were unwanted, they were unclean. It says, but when they got up and they started going, the sound they made disrupted the enemy's camp to a point. It did not let, you know, you would think if the lepers walked up into the camp, if I was back then, if I saw a leper walk into my camp and I knew leprosy was contagious, that's when I would have run. But it didn't happen when they arrived. It happened when they just started making noise. I'm telling you, you're either in bondage or you're free because of the noise that you're making. Are you making a praise out of your mouth because it's tough? Are you making a complaint? What sound of freedom is there? Because until there's a sound of freedom, you're not going to be free. And you may not understand it. I've been through times where I didn't understand it. I'd let my mouth keep me in chains because you got to understand, you're a spirit. You are a speaking spirit. And you got to understand that scripture that says, name it, claim it. They preached it all the time. Whatever you say you'll have, I want you to know something. That's not about lust and possessions. That's about faith. And what are you speaking out of your mouth? Are you speaking, I am healed, I am whole, from the top of my head to the soles of my toes? The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, I am healed because are you speaking that, or are you speaking, oh my gosh, I feel so bad? Because the sound of your freedom is what's keeping your life in the condition you're in right now. If you will get to where every sound you make is a sound of victory, you need to understand that sound is what God uses to shake things up. I believe, have you ever been standing in front of a speaker at a rock concert? I've been at a few. And I've been right at the front. And when the speaker comes, and when there's a difference in decimals. The opening acts would play, and you would think, this loud, they would make your ears ring. I went to see the Stone Temple Pilots and the Flamin' Lips one time before I was right with the Lord. And the Flamin' Lips were playing. And it was loud. My ears were ringing. I was right up at the front, and it was loud. I had a headache from the thing ringing. But then when the Stone Temple Pilots took the stage and they reared back and they hit that first note, I'm telling you, didn't matter how much gel I had in my hair, didn't matter how, every one of us were blown back 3 feet. It was unbelievable the way that that sound man was able to just simply take a finger and turn a decimal up. And it did. I'm telling you, I left there and it wasn't my chest hurt from the bass beating so hard out of that concert. It was amazing. I want you to know something. Victory has a sound to it. And until you're willing to turn up that decimal, you might walk around telling yourself God's done all this thing, but until other people know what God's doing for you, you're not free. Until that decimal gets loud enough for other people in the jail cells beside you to hear it, they're not going to get free. You're not going to get free. They were making so much noise in their jail cell, the Bible says, before they were ever, it started, it was a rock concert. Them sound decimal hurts started shaking that place. See, the Bible says an earthquake happened, but it didn't say where the earthquake came from. I think they just decided, I'm going to praise louder and harder than the Stone Temple Pilots could ever praise. I'm going to get louder than anything, and I'm going to shake this place apart. You know, they're developing weapons now, the U.S. military is, that shoots sonar sound waves into buildings, and they can make the whole building fall. They take these weapons, they're not even going to have to fire bullets anymore. They can point out and shoot supersonic sound waves into places that are so powerful, causing things to collapse. I'm telling you, till you get your sound to where it can do some destruction in the enemy's camp, instead of the enemy letting you say what you want to say, how you feel, where you, what they did to you, how bad it's been, you will not experience freedom, because what you say is what you will possess. What you let come out your mouth, you will not have it until it comes out first. There is a sound of freedom. And thirdly, there's a walk of freedom. There is a walk of freedom. There, you see, you could, you, if you watch shows like, oh, I love that show Locked Up. Y'all ever watch that show Locked Up? Oh, what, Jennifer hates my shows and I hate hers. But we compromise, all right? She watches more house design shows. I tell you what, I told Jen, we've got enough house designing ideas to last us the rest of our life. I watch the shows where you learn to survive in different situations. And I told Jen, I don't know what tomorrow will hold, but I may need that little bit of information right there. But when you see them guys going into prison, they got their head down. But when you see them coming out of prison, it's a totally different walk. There is a walk of freedom. And until you learn the walk of freedom, you will not be free. The Bible says this, that faith is not a sit. Faith is not just a song. Faith, the Bible says faith is a walk. And it says the just will live by faith. Do you know what just people are? Just people are those that are not addicted to drugs. Just people are those that are free from alcohol. Just people are those that aren't in a fight with everybody at work. Just people are those that don't rip off the government for taxes. The just people are those that abide by God's rules. But it says they will walk by faith. You say, well, Cricket, you don't understand. I can't pay my taxes because I don't have the money. Walk by faith. If you will do things the way God wants you to do them, it may take a stretch of you doing it at first, But the minute you started doing it, faith goes into work. And when faith goes into work, God then can release freedom. You say, well, Creed, you don't understand. I've been addicted to alcohol my whole life. Get up tomorrow and walk like you haven't been. Say, Creed, you don't understand. I do understand. I've got so many issues, I couldn't write them in a book. And I have to get up a lot of days and decide, you know, I wonder what life would look like if I didn't have that. What would I do today if I wasn't bound by that? How would I talk to this person if I wasn't under the shackles of bitterness? How would I treat this person if I wasn't under the bondage of anger? How would I treat these people if I was? How would I do? I would have to do it God's way. And when I do it God's way, even though I may not be free yet, if I start walking in the direction of God's way, if I have to be nice to those that are mean to me, if I have to love those that have despitefully used me, if I have to forgive those that have literally hurt me and bound me, if I have to decide to get, you do that. See, there's a sound of freedom and you start talking like it. But when you start walking like it, when you start walking like you've never been hurt, and you start walking like you've never been done wrong, you start walking like, I'm telling you, when you start walking like freedom, you will start walking toward freedom. And the Bible said this, the Bible said, those that continually stay in the Word, those that continually walk in that direction, and those that let it fake it till you make it, you know that expression? You start acting like the Word of God works every day until the Word of God works every day. Because eventually, if you're doing what the Word of God says will work, you will get free from everything. Telling you what, freedom is worth every minute. There are men that have died on the battlefield with the dreams and hopes of 1 second of freedom. I was going to play the Braveheart freedom speech here this morning. But then I was afraid somebody would go home and watch that movie and it's rated R, so I couldn't. But he gets, the dream of freedom is not a dream. It doesn't have to be a dream. That if you're willing to pay the price, do it God's way, no matter what. You're willing to make the sound, speak it God's way, no matter what. And you're willing to make the walk. That means begin to act like it's God's way already. Then it's faith. And when you start doing it, you will be free. And the Bible says you will be free indeed. Usher's got some communion real quick to pass out right now. Because I want you to remember what freedom looks like, sounds like, smells like, and tastes like. This is freedom. The Bible says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. I want you to take every thought you've ever had, every remembrance you've ever had, every hardship you've ever had, every addiction you've ever had, and I want you to realize that because he did this, you have the ability to be free and free indeed. All you've got to do is make the declaration, it's not my way, it's God's way. I'm telling you, you start working God's way on your job, you'll be the boss before long. You start talking God's way at Walmart. I'm telling you, people will begin to notice you. You'll stick out. It's God's plan and God's way is freedom. And when you give up your way and take his way, you will be free. We're going to pull this open. The Bible says, as often as you do this. And start me some romantic music, Joe, if you don't mind. This is going to be our altar call. I want to thank every man and woman, every family, every wife that gave their husbands and every husband that gave their wives. I want to publicly, I'm so thankful. They paid the price of freedom so I can live the way I live in America. But most importantly, I want to thank God for the price he paid for my freedom. And I'm going to make the declaration this morning. The declaration has been made. Joshua made it. See, Joshua, you got to understand this. The decision Joshua made was this. Do you know there were only two men that went into the promised land that knew what it was like to be a slave? Two men. And, you know, I know this. Like I said, the greatest stain on our nation was that we went into being a nation still allowing slavery. But I want you to know something. Them chains are broken. And that's why I'm because you got to understand this. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You might not be free yet. But if you'll keep the Spirit of the Lord actively at work in your life, you will be free. If you'll just continue and continue and continue. I love this church. And I'm going to make this statement. Some people want to know what we believe. Do we believe in the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. I'm a tongue talker. I'm a tongue talker. And you say, well, Cricket, I've never seen a church that wasn't open to the Holy Spirit that was interracial. Never. Never. And I've been to a lot of interracial church. Do you know why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I've been to a lot of churches that weren't Spirit-filled, and they weren't racial. I tell you, this is the way God wants it right here. He don't want that. He wants to reach across racial bounds. He wants to reach across every kind of hierarchy or level of life bounds. And it takes the Spirit of the Lord. Any area in your life where there is bondage, you need the Holy Spirit actively at work in that place because He brings about freedom. And you say, well, what is that? That is this. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is those that draw us to repentance and it convicts us of our sins. But the Bible says this. He said, don't take this declaration. Don't take it unworthily. That's what it says. Do you know why? Because you can make a declaration and it doesn't mean anything. And if your declaration doesn't mean anything, then you don't reap the benefit of it. Like I said, Joshua and Caleb were the only two men that went into the promised land that knew what it was like to be a slave. And that's why I believe Joshua made this declaration. He said, as for me and my house. He didn't say we're going to live in the land that the Lord has gave us. That's what a lot of us as Americans want to do. We want to live in the land that other men have paid for. That's why we don't obey the laws. That's why we don't appreciate authority. That's why this is just honestly, because we didn't pay the price. But see, Joshua and Caleb remembered what it was like to be in slavery. Because they remembered what it was like to be in slavery, it was easy for them to make the declaration, as for me and my house, we're not just going to reap the benefits of the Lord, but we're going to serve it and do it His way, the way He goes. That's how we really get free. So I want to pray real quick. If you're here this morning and you've got an area in your life you know has been compromised, you've got pigs living in your yard, or you didn't go across the river when God told you to, or you got all kind of junk in your refrigerator you shouldn't have, or that stuff hid under your bed. I don't know what your compromises are, but I do know this. If you've got a compromise, you're not free. So before we take this declaration of freedom, I want to give you a chance to get it right. We simply say, Dear Father, I ask you to forgive me for this compromise in my life. Anything that is sin, I confess it as sin. I ask you to forgive me. And I make the declaration right now, you are my Lord. And I make the decision to do it your way from this point on. No compromise. I do not plan on walking out of here and doing it again. It's just not one of those prayers I pray to feel like I'm going to heaven. I ask you to forgive me. I make the declaration I will not do it again. In the name of Jesus. Now you take this body and you say, Dear Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for letting Him pay the ultimate price. His body was broken for me, and I will not forget that. I will not forget that. I declare it in Jesus' name that I will remember what the price of freedom was as I partake of His body. Now, as I partake of this blood, Lord, don't let a single drop of this blood go in vain. Thank you for every drop you dropped, every drop of blood you bled. Thank you for it, because this was the price of my freedom. Not just my heaven, but my freedom. And God, I ask you to take this blood and wash away every sin and cover every member of my family. Cover this ministry and cover this city. I thank you for the price that you paid. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want you, if you're going to make the declaration of this, as Joshua made it, we never got no music, do we? As the declaration of the thing where Joshua said this, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I want you, if you are willing to make a declaration this morning, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to simply raise your right hand. I got my left. And you make the declaration, as for me and my house, I will do it your way. I will live your way. Not just on Sunday, but I will continue on Monday. I will continue through the week. I make the declaration. I sign my name on the dotted line. If it costs me everything, I make the decision today. I will live free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you for it in Jesus' name.